Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and lanthanum, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, and protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium.
Oh, the sound of genius. Do I need an excuse to play that Tom Lehrer tune? Of course, the periodic table put to music by mathematician and brilliant musician Tom Lehrer. Selenium, seaborgium, einsteinium, remember those? Na for sodium. Those are the elements from the periodic table. They're more than just entertaining. Their unique structures and properties of each individual element determine reality itself. I mean, the thought I'm having right now depends on some molecule's ability to add or subtract electrons. That's right. Oops, didn't quite work out. Maybe I'll get a better thought in a moment. Let me introduce you to someone who thinks that the elements in the periodic table are more than just chemistry.
118 unique substances arranged on an amazing chart that reveals their hidden secrets to anyone who knows how to read it.
The truth be told about the elements. David Pogue is the host of a two-hour Nova special, Hunting the Elements, which airs tonight on PBS. Everything we always wanted to know about the elements. And he's certainly not afraid to ask. David Pogue, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So what is the periodic table, and why are the elements the way that they are? Because they're not all the possible configurations of atoms. They're a selected set of configurations we have here on Earth, which determine all of our reality. Explain how the story gets told.
Well, not very well in most school systems, I feel. I mean, we've all seen the periodic table. It is text. It is a bunch of abbreviations and numbers, and I doubt any non-scientist who's no longer in high school can really remember what those numbers mean or what it was about.
Of course, David Pogue looks at it, and he sees spreadsheet, right?
Exactly. No, I see Helvetica 36.
Nice.
but each one of those things is something cool and interesting, and I think – I mean, the element special tonight was not my idea. I'm just the mere host, but – the guy who dreamed it up, the producer and writer, it's a dream of his whole life. He's done TV, science TV for years, and he has this burning notion that elements are cool and interesting, and they deserve a little more representation than this boring table.
All right. Talk to me about carbon. Why is carbon just so completely awesome and righteous?
Carbon is the first letter of schnapps. See, listen to me. I talk like a scientist. Schnapps, C-H-N-O-P-S. Those are the initials of the six elements that form the basis of all life, from single-celled organisms to us. So carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, sulfur, schnapps. And carbon is the basis of all these life molecules because it can form itself into long chains. So virtually all the proteins and DNA, it's all carbon.
And that makes life. It also makes the hydrocarbons that we burn. It makes all of the energy that, fuels our cities, that sort of thing.
Indeed. And, of course, the whole thing with Nova, especially this new team, is to try to make this stuff as least boring as possible. So we investigated the elements of life by visiting a hardware store with a chemistry professor and buying in approximately correct proportions the ingredients of me, 185-pound man. So we bought two sacks of charcoal to represent the amount of carbon in me and some fertilizer for the nitrogen and a bunch of bottled water for the hydrogen oxygen. So it was it's as living and vital as they can make.
How much did that set you back?
It was $118.
Whoa. Make sure your agent doesn't hear about that, right? okay, let's ring a little bell here and have a discussion about some real-life implications of chemistry and the periodic table.
The name of each element is the least important piece of information you could possibly have. What matters about elements is that they are real physical substances with properties and things you can do with them.
And who is that you're speaking with there?
So this is Tao Gray, a man who's made a career of making the elements cool. He has a coffee table book called The Elements. He has a really popular iPad app called the elements that brings them to life.
And let's listen to that bell that I talked about here. No, we don't have it. All right. So if I'd had the bell, it would ring the Liberty Bell. And essentially, the crack in the Liberty Bell is a feature of metallurgy, which is all about chemistry, which is all about the interaction of some elements in a cast bell in Philadelphia. Why do we think it cracked?
Well, bells are made of bronze, and the reason we make them out of bronze is, first of all, it has a beautiful tone that just rings and rings that no other metal has, quite that tone. And second of all, it's much tougher than either of bronze's two ingredients by themselves. Those ingredients are copper mm-hmm. and tin, and you have to mix them in exactly the right proportion or the bronze won't make a good bell. So we think that they had not quite the right amount of tin in their copper. And I actually went to Cincinnati, where one of the last remaining bell foundries is, and I made a bell. I mean, we poured the hot metal, and even at this company that's using the same technique they've been using for 150 years, even they have to throw out 30 out of 100 bells they make because the exact proportions of those elements is not quite right.
And when you say exact proportions, on the molecular and atomic level, you're talking about the spacing, right, of the copper and the tin, and it's got to be copper, copper, tin, tin, copper. It's that ordered.
That's right. And right after that, we went to this amazing Cornell microscope that can zoom in 100 million times and see the actual atoms of a piece of this bell we made. I mean, we could see atoms. That's never been possible before. And you see exactly as you say that copper by itself has all these atoms that slosh around too much. You would dent the bell. But if you put tin in there, they act as these sort of spacers, this glue that keeps the atoms from jiggling around too much and sloshing when you hit it.
Talking with David Pogue, who's the host of a two-hour Nova special called Hunting the Elements. It airs tonight on PBS. He's also the host of Nova's Making Stuff series. He's a technology correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, as well. Now, I was talking with a chemist friend of mine, okay, and I mentioned that you were going to be on it, that the series was airing, and he said, oh, ask him about the rare earths. The rare earths are really interesting, and they have huge geopolitical implications. And I said, who knew?
Yeah, nobody knows, and I think this is a major, major issue. So we think that we are facing an oil shortage. We think that's a big geopolitical problem. There's something much bigger on the horizon, exactly as you say. Rare earths is this bizarre row of elements nobody cared about forever, but they are the core of every high-tech product there is. Cell phones, flat-screen TVs, wind turbines, electric cars all require neodymium and cesium, these
cesium.
Yeah, these
who knew? Iridium, is that one of them? No, not really.
I'm not sure.
Molybdenum?
Molybdenum is one of them.
Molybdenum,
right?
Is one of them.
Exactly. And so where are these things? 98% are in China, which is no problem as long as they're willing to share, but they have been cutting back exports a few percent a year, and their intention is to stop sharing the rare earth minerals. So that is a huge problem for anyone who uses high-tech equipment, high-tech cars, future of energy, future of electronics, future of everything. So Congress is aware, but the public is not, and I think it's a giant looming problem. So in the show, we actually visited our last great hope. There is an old rare earths mine in California, one in the United
States.
Where
is it? Where is it?
It's in Mountain Pass, California. And it was shut down decades ago, A, because of environmental concerns, B, because who cares about these rare
right.
earth elements? Well, now we care a lot. So they're spending $1 billion to reinvigorate and bring this mine back online. And they hope within a few years it'll be producing 20% of the world's rare earths.
So did you go down a hole or did you go into a big pit or where'd you go?
We went down a hole. We went half a mile underground.
Half a mile?
Yep. And we wore hard hats. It was an amazing adventure.
And are those rare earths formed as a result of volcanic activity? Do they come from outer space? Are they, you know, what's the sort of formation of them geologically?
Well, all elements ultimately came from
sure.
the Big Bang. So, yeah, they came from outer space.
Of course.
but what's interesting to me is that rare earths are not rare. In fact, they're more common than lead in the Earth's crust. What makes them rare is they're very difficult to separate from each other. Mm. There's chemical reasons we go into in the show, but they all look chemically alike. And so they're very difficult to extract, and that's what makes them rare.
And that's the feature of them as an element. That's their unique property. They're bound together very, very tightly, and so the processes required to pull them apart require a huge amount of human ingenuity and sometimes energy.
That's right. There's...
All
There's this lab in Ames, Iowa, one of our government's national laboratories, whose specialty is trying to extract rare earth elements. You know those buckyballs that kids get for Christmas?
Yep.
Little spheres?
My son has some.
Right. Super magnets. Those are rare earths. They're neodymium magnets. And again, everything today that's cool is made of these elements. And China's got 98% of them.
Well, you got any neodymium problems? You can talk to our guest about that. David Pogue, host of the two-hour Nova special, Hunting the Elements. It airs tonight on PBS. He's also the host of Nova's Making Stuff series and a technology correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, of course, to our partner, WGBH, in Boston. David, thank you.
My pleasure.
How many of the elements can you name? I'm not sure I remember very many of them from my high school years. You can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our website, thetakeaway.org, if you have a comment about that discussion or any of the conversations here. In fact, you might want to join our listener response network and get an early jump on conversations like this one. Sign up to receive our text. You'll get one text a day. All you need to do is text the word START to 69866. I'm Celeste Headlee.
It's like you're one of our little molecules if you do that. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.